Good evening, everyone. When Brother Doug told me that he and Sister Beth were going to be taking their grandbabies back to Birmingham this afternoon for a Christmas play that they're going to be performing in tomorrow, and they're going to stay and watch it, he asked me to speak for a few minutes tonight. I told him I'd be happy to. He told me to keep it short and sweet. I told him I'll do my best. So tonight we're going to talk for just a few minutes from Galatians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. In my Sunday school class for the last 4 or 5 weeks, we talked about the spiritual fruit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But tonight I wanted to expand on that for just a few minutes and read a couple of passages. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And since Brother Dale had y'all stand up two of the three songs, I'm not going to make you stand up now. But we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Word says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become uncircumcised, then Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. For you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And then skip down to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Father, may you bless the reading of your word tonight as we read and think about a few thoughts from Galatians chapter 5. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my question is this. In verse 6, Paul writes, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." What's he talking about? Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Circumcision here, what he's talking about, refers to the works of the flesh, the things that we can do to accomplish reconciliation with God. And what he says about these things we can do, these works of the flesh, is they avail or accomplish nothing. They fall short. My question is why? We can't do anything to reconcile with God. The works of the flesh, as hard as we can work, if you put your whole body, mind, and soul into working for God, it accomplishes nothing, is what Paul writes. Why? Here's the answer. Because God's concern is first your heart and then your hands. And man, we struggle with that. We get that backwards so often. But that is huge. God's concern is first your heart and then your hands. Our hands can be lifted in praise to the Lord. Or our hands can be put to the plow of service for God, working diligently. But if our hearts are not His, then we are hypocrites. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus has this diatribe. He's this litany of things he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's calling them hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. He says that they are blind guides, they are whitewashed tombs, they are hypocrites. And these men were doing, understand, they were doing everything right on the outside. Everything. They never missed worship. They always tithed. They always served at the temple. They always taught a Sunday school class. They always memorized and read the Scripture. Always. They never missed that stuff. And yet he called them hypocrites. Whitewashed tombs. They were missing something. He said they were neglecting the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith. They were neglecting to love people is what they were doing. They were doing everything right with their hands, but they were not loving people. And Jesus called them out. So if God is more concerned with our heart first and then our hands, how do we know if our hearts are in the hands of the potter? Well, look down in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. And this is a great list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. MacArthur wrote that spiritual fruit falls into two categories. There's action fruit and there's attitude fruit. It's interesting in this list of spiritual fruit that Paul mentions zero action fruit. There is no action fruit. There are no righteous deeds, good deeds, worship, giving, evangelism. All those are good things, but Paul doesn't list any of those. He lists attitude fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, attitudes, character traits that we as Christians are to have. I read somewhere that a gentleman said, if someone asked you if you're a Christian, wouldn't it be wonderful to say, hang around with me for a week, and then you tell me. The problem with that is that could also be scary, right? Not hang around with me on Sunday. Because on Sunday morning for a couple of hours, and maybe even on Sunday evening, if you're real lucky for an hour, man, I can fool anybody. Anybody. Because I can put my hands to the plow, and I can raise my hands in worship. But my heart can be as far from God, and you don't know it. But if you walk with me for a week, I pray and I hope you will see in my attitude and in my heart and in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Understand, every believer has the potential to bear a bumper crop of spiritual fruit. But gardens take care. I love sharing stories about my family. And my grandmother and grandfather had a huge garden in Desert where I grew up. Which is probably why I don't eat vegetables, because I spent so much time picking and shucking and shelling that it just made me crazy. And so now I don't like vegetables. I'm kind of a meat guy. But anyway, my grandmother and grandfather had a huge garden. And the older they got, the bigger it got. And my grandmother single-handedly fed Lakeside Missionary Baptist Church. About 100 people, she fed them all year, because her garden was huge. And my grandmother's garden, she tended that garden better than most people clean their house. You know how people say you could eat off the floor? You could eat off the floor of my grandmother's garden. That's how clean her garden was. And the reason her garden was so clean is because every day you'd find that sweet little old lady out there with her big old brimmed hat and her long sleeve shirt and her hoe. She wasn't in a hurry, but she was working that garden. And there wasn't a weed or a piece of grass anywhere in my grandmother's garden. And when it came time to pick, oh my goodness, it was a joy to go pick her garden. You could go out there in shorts and a t-shirt and have a good old time picking. You didn't get brushed by anything. There was no weeds. There were no bugs. My grandmother's garden was immaculate. When my grandmother and grandfather passed away, my dad tried keep their garden one season. He planted that garden one time. And he disced it up just like he did for them every year. And he sowed the seeds back and forth, back and forth. And the garden grew fruit. But my father was too busy doing other things and did not tend that garden like my grandmother. And when harvest time came, there was fruit. Man, you had to look hard for it. I mean, it was out there. But you had to look for it. One year. One season. There was fruit produced, but it was hard to find. Sometimes in our lives, we're the same way. If we don't tend to the spiritual fruit, if we don't rely on the Holy Spirit of God to prune us, to tend that garden, to weed our lives, and to get rid of the stuff that's not supposed to be there, our lives grow up in weeds. And there may be spiritual fruit being produced, but people can't see it. Man, that is not how God called it to be. That is not how God wanted our lives, His children, His church, to act. He didn't want a church full of weeds. He wanted a well-kept, well-tended church. Christian family, children. That's why in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches, right? And God, my Father, is the vine dresser. And if you're going to bear fruit, you've got to be in me. You've got to be plugged into me. You've got to be letting my Father, letting His Spirit work in your lives to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we be a church that is known for that. Not a church known for the weeds, but a church known for producing spiritual fruit because God is working through the lives and in the lives of us. The faithful, the Sunday night crowd. If we are those people, how much stronger can this church become? If we, the Sunday night crowd, allow God to produce that kind of fruit in our lives, imagine what can happen on Sunday mornings. May this week we focus on that. And may we do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight and just share a portion of your word for just a few minutes. God, help us to be Christians who are known for their love. Not to be Pharisees, not to be hypocrites, not to be caught up in the things of religion, Father, but to be consumed and controlled by you and your Spirit. May we strive to love one another, to care for one another, to be patient, to be a servant with one another. God, may we truly be those people, those children, that church that loves you so much because you have loved us so much. Father, tonight as we have this business meeting, Father, as we open this business meeting right now, God, I pray that you would bless it. I thank you for the men and the women who have put the time in and effort into planning and working through our budget. And I pray you would bless this meeting with your presence. Father, may we honor you as we take care of your business, as we proceed tonight, God. May you be glorified in all that is said and done in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.